You are watching Game Time Decisions. I am Gabriel Morenci. Welcome to the program to put some money where its fantasies are on the Fantasy Sports Network. Let's do this thing, triple threat style. Steve Merrill, ProSportsInfo.com, one of the cover's experts, will join us. We'll take a look at tonight's Monday night football game, in which there's a ton of excitement in the New York tri-state area for tonight's football game. So much excitement that it'll cost you $6 to attend tonight's football game. It'll cost you more to get there than it will to get in. As nobody wants to watch the Colts and the Jets play, evidently, in New York tonight. But it doesn't matter because we'll be betting it anyways. So we're going to bring it down with Steve Merrill. We have the playoff matchups set. College football bowl games have been set. The odds are starting to trickle in right now. We've got our numbers for the big-time playoff games and the big-time bowl games. We'll take a look at those with Steve Merrill as well. Mike Cardano will join me. We'll take a look at tonight's Monday Nighter. We'll talk Snow Angels, New York Jet, Indianapolis Colt, and Atlanta Falcon football. As the Falcons find another bitterly painful way to lose a game, in which them losing the game helped me win the Survivor. But it doesn't mean that I'm not in a bad mood right now. It's amazing. I'm the only person I know that I could win $5,000 and just be like piss poor angry right now. Like, I hate everything and everybody, all right? But we'll get to that in a second. I don't hate Peter Annapolis. Peter Annapolis is going to join us. I hate the Cleveland Cavaliers, and the Toronto Raptors play the Cavaliers tonight. The Raptors always get screwed when they play the Cavaliers. It's always like the Raptors played like 3 games in 4 nights and the Cavs have been off for 12 days type of thing. Now they get the Cavs that have lost 3 games in a row. But I'm sure the Raptors are getting tired of losing to Cleveland Cavaliers. So we're going to break that down with Annapolis. You know, Westbrook's going crazy, man. He's putting up Michael Jordan type of numbers. And, oh, yeah, Draymond Green keeps on kicking people because he's a jackass that went to Michigan State. Like most people that went to Michigan State. Like, think about it. With Michigan State, honestly, you got Kirk Gibson and you got Magic Johnson. Everybody else is like a scumbag, all right? Kirk Cousins, big choker. Draymond Green, big kicker. You guys should be MMA fighters. but anyways, we'll get to the Redskins. Actually, you know what? The Redskins didn't even make our list, even though they did screw us. I'm not going to bitch about the Redskins too much because it was a bad spot. They've been good against the spread this year, and the game went over the number, and I had the over. So it's kind of a split. But nevertheless, you know what time it is. It's time for Who Ruined Your Sunday? Now, anybody that watched our bold predictions on Friday, you know, if you guys paid attention, man, we were making you money. I told you the Detroit Lions are going to go in to the Bayou and they're going to beat the Saints outright, and they did. Easy money, man. They didn't even need a late fourth quarter comeback, as the Detroit Lions are for real. I was on the Kansas City Chiefs. I had the Chiefs who won me $5K in a Survivor pool. The only problem with that is I'm like the only person that can win $5,000 somehow and still have a bad day. Like, seriously, like, this is freaking pathetic. I've got to reevaluate my life. I'm like Kanye West, man. I got to check into a clinic or something like that. So if I ain't going to have Kim K sitting by my side, I'll just have the phone ringing. Morenci, where's the money? Where's the monies? Where's the monies? But the day started off marvelously. I win a $5,000 Survivor pool. The downside with that is I was the damn commissioner, and you think I have that money in a shoebox somewhere? No. That money right now is in the pockets of the owner of the D Hotel in Las Vegas, Nevada, and casino. But that's besides the point. At least I don't owe it to anybody else right now. I already got enough problems as it is. But the day starts off, bam! Detroit Lions win, money line. Bam! Kansas City wins, money line. And I win a Survivor. Boom! The good times are a-rolling, man. I'm like Prince and it's 1999, except I'm not dead yet. And I'm boogieing, man. And people, oh, Morenci's never in a good mood. I was in a great mood yesterday. We're 3-0 in the Las Vegas Super Contest. Things are going real well until I realize I have big money on the Chicago Bears and the San Francisco game to go over the number. And I knew there was going to be some bad weather, but their defenses are both so piss poor. What would it matter, right? Well, it didn't stop Jordan Howard and Matt Barkley from going up and down the field. But there's Colin Kaepernick, that American national anthem-hating, communist-loving, Castro-loving son of a bitch. Colin Kaepernick managed to put up 2 fantasy points yesterday. 2 fantasy points. You know, you could have pissed on the field and got 2 fantasy points. Like, at this point, why don't you just take a dump? That's all you haven't done yet, Kaepernick. And it'd be fitting if you take a dump because you're crap, all right? And all your freaking protests. Oh, you love Castro? You played like that yesterday for Castro? He would have had you shot. He would have lined you up in a public square and shot you. Oh, yeah, you love Castro, eh? All your protests. You know what? It's time for San Francisco 49er fans to protest you for stealing $11 million a year from them. And in fact, here it is, Kaepernick. I protest you. Who ruined your Sunday? I'm on my knee. And you know what? What am I protesting? Not the cops, not injustice. I'm in protest of you, Kaepernick. You blow. You suck. And you suck as well, Chip Kelly. Go back to college. If I was North Texas, I wouldn't hire you, you stupid jackass. All right. Oh, yeah, Kaepernick. You average less than 1 yard per attempt. Like, 1 yard? Like, how can you throw a football less than 1 yard? Like, look. Look. You can't even throw a football. Like, 3 yards? You really suck, dude. Like, seriously. Like, I don't even know what else to say. I'm embarrassed I offended you. It's like Jill Stein. All right, but who else? I got a long list of crappy quarterbacks here. Let's go on to the state of New York. You guys screwed me pretty good yesterday. Let's start off with Eli Manning, the only 2-time Super Bowl champion quarterback that still gets ID'd when he goes to the club. You know, Eli Manning, he always has that stupid look on his face after he does something dumb. He's like a little 8-year-old kid in the mall. I'm lost. He's like, he's confused. Well, Eli, if you throw the ball to the team wearing the other color jersey, that's not good. Oh, I'm sorry, Mom, I didn't know. And he got McAdoo walking around like the fat-ass dumb dad that lost his kid. Well, I don't know what the hell's going on. Bring Coughlin back, because you're all a bunch of jackasses. You suck, Eli Manning. It's a disgrace that you're a 2-time Super Bowl-winning quarterback. You pulled a lottery ticket out of your ass twice. And let's lead us into crappy quarterbacks. Tyrod Taylor. Yeah, good stuff, Tyrod Taylor. I'm surprised Tyrod Taylor can even read a McDonald's menu, let alone try to read an NFL defense. All right? You know, the Bills' wide receivers are more wide open than Kim Kardashian's ass is, okay? And what do you guys do? Nothing. You give 29 unanswered points to the Oakland Raiders. Good job. Rex completely clueless. Another postseason gone. 16 years in freaking running. A long history of loserdom compounded in yesterday's football game. There wasn't one of you son of a bitches that stepped up and made a freaking play. If I was Terry Pegula, I would have left your asses in Oakland. I would have left you in the freaking parking lot. You guys didn't deserve the trip back home. You ruined my Sunday. And we'll wrap it up with Ron Rivera and Cam Newton. Oh, Cam Newton's benched because he didn't wear a tie. What, are you going to bench him next week if he doesn't finish his milk and his cereal? You can't have your pudding if you don't finish your meat, Cam. Screw you, Riverboat Ron. What is this, kindergarten? It's a National Football League. You ruined my Sunday for the last freaking time. And same with you, you towel head wearing jackass, Cam Newton. Screw you all. You ruined my Sunday too. Game Time Decisions continues. Game Time Decisions. We are live on the Fantasy Sports Network. I am Gabriel Morenci. Steve Merrill will join us. We've got Mike Cardano. We've got Peter Yiannopoulos. Going to talk some NBA basketball with Pete. Talk some NFL football and some props with Cardano. We'll run the gauntlet with Steve Merrill. I understand we're going to have B-Hop, Bernard Hopkins, on the show tomorrow. So our run of great guests continues right here on the Fantasy Sports Network. Man, we've given you Mike Ditka, Dick Stockton, in the last couple of days. Oh yeah, Kurt Schilling joined us and called Major League Baseball beat writers pedophiles on the show on Friday. So we've been stirring the pot as of late here on the network. All right, So, speaking of stirring the pot, let's go to the sports guru who ruined your Sunday video. Come on, people. I want to see some anger here, all right? I'm nearly having a coronary heart attack doing these things. So, give me some anger here. What do we got?
What is going on, everybody? SkinsFan87, Anthony Barada. Who ruined my Sunday? Well, that would be the Washington Redskins. It's not hard to figure that out when your team loses. It's never a good thing. So, you know, it's a tough loss in the desert, 31-23. Now, this is not a bad Arizona team. I know their record doesn't exactly say that they're great this year, but I really think this is a lot better Arizona team, and they're starting to play better of late. We'll see if they can keep that consistency up in the next couple weeks. Obviously, the Redskins get knocked out of that sixth seed in the playoffs, so we'll see if they can get back, and I think they will. You know, these last four games are going to obviously be very key. That you got to win every single one of them. It's a win or go home now. Let's see if they can get refocused. I know they've had kind of a weird couple weeks of scheduling. Now they can get refocused and maybe start playing just a little bit better football, especially on the defensive side, and the offensive line obviously needs to take a good hard look at themselves because they did not perform well today. We will see if they can get it right. I think they will. I still think they're going to make the playoffs, but we will see what happens next. Thanks for joining me.
The Washington Redskins are one loss away from being done right now, just because of the fact that their division is so good. But the New York Giants, I think, have bigger problems. I think the Giants are probably bigger frauds, actually. What do we see? The two teams are riding six-game win streaks. Complete fraudulent performances yesterday. The Miami Dolphins and the New York Giants both exposed, and the Baltimore Ravens take a step closer. Are the Detroit Lions a sleeper right now? It looks like they're going to win this division, and the Lions are going to be hosting a playoff game. Things are going to get interesting down the stretch. I didn't believe that Baltimore was going to get it done, and that Pittsburgh would catch up Baltimore. Pittsburgh's going to beat Buffalo this week. Baltimore's going to have to keep the pedal to the metal and win. Let's bring in Steve Merrill right now. What up, Steve?
Or is phony? I got a lot of phony teams, Gabe.
Yeah, you know what? Well, you know, I know you've always felt the Atlanta Falcons have been phonies for years. We'll get to that in a minute. But yesterday, the Miami Dolphins in their six-game win streak, they get blasted. Ryan Tannehill remembers he's Ryan Tannehill. And then we have the New York Giants, pathetic, anemic performance yesterday. And typical Giant fashion, they go up and down the field, yet they don't do anything with it. They get nothing out of it. And then you get a Kansas City Chiefs team who, you know, some people are hyping up as Super Bowl contenders, and other people just think that they're lucky son of a bitches.
Yeah, we talked about the Giants about a month ago. I think they had a Monday night game, so we were talking that game here on the show. And they'd run for, you know, they'd won three straight, and they'd run for 38 yards or less in two of those three wins. I kept saying, you can't keep doing that. The next three games that they won, they actually ran for over 100 each going into last week. So, you know, they started to get the ground game going, but they're still a very one-dimensional team. But, yeah, the Kansas City Chiefs, 2 weeks in a row, I've gone against them. I definitely had the right side with Denver. Denver had almost a 200-yard edge last week on Sunday night. Kansas City finds a way to win. I had Atlanta yesterday, and I'm not a big believer in Atlanta. It's probably the first time this season I've actually had a play on the Falcons, and it was more of a play against Kansas City. I just wanted to fade them off the altitude game on a short week traveling. They've got Oakland on deck this Thursday night. It was a great spot to play against Kansas City. They get out first down 32-17 in the game, and they still find a way to win. Another pick six return, just like they had a kickoff return against Denver. Phony team, but there's a lot of phony teams. I think the Ravens are a fraud as a three seed right now in the AFC. Detroit is playing better as a three seed. I can't picture them winning the whole conference, though. I hate to say New England's going to win it because they've got problems now, too, but I really don't think there's a super team. You know, Dallas is playing well, but it's hard to believe Prescott can win the Super Bowl as a rookie. Seattle, I still think, is a bit overrated. If they can get home games in the playoffs, they're going to be tough. But as of now, they'd have to go to Dallas in the conference finals.
I think that's the theme of the year this year, Steve. Teams that probably aren't as good as the record says they are.
Right.
Like, how good are the Raiders? They're the Raiders. They're pretty good, obviously. Well, you got to give them just due. They're 10-2 right now. But you know, I do think the Chiefs are a competitive football team. If Andy Reid will open things up a little bit, I like the fake punt yesterday, and that was a big difference in the game. The thing with the Falcons game is, they're just always close, Steve. All these Falcon games always seem to come down to the wire, man. The underdog always seems to cover in Falcon games.
Well, the Falcons are a lot like the Raiders. They're a good offensive team. They throw the ball extremely well. Both quarterbacks, Carr and Ryan, are having MVP seasons, but they don't have good defenses. And that's why I'm not sold on Oakland. just because they can't necessarily stop anybody. But keep in mind, they put up over 600 offensive yards on the road against the Buccaneers, the most that franchise had ever allowed. Now Tampa is currently in the playoffs right now. They just got flexed into the Sunday night game 2 weeks from now against the Cowboys. So that road performance is pretty impressive. And Oakland might be the best offensive team in the league right now by far. So, you know, that's always dangerous in the playoffs. I'll tell you one team that's not even in right now. Well, they're kind of in, but Pittsburgh can make a run. I wouldn't be shocked to see the Steelers win the whole thing. You know, I mean, I like the pedigree they have, and they've been kind of flying under the radar this season.
Yeah, you're right. They are dangerous. I said that last week as well. They're the dangerous team if they can get there. You look at their schedule, you look at Baltimore's schedule, it appears as though Pittsburgh will be able to overtake Baltimore, and they do play each other. But Baltimore, they're not good, but they just keep finding ways to win enough football games to stay in first place. It's going to be interesting to see what happens down the stretch here, because you're right. Yeah, I think Seattle are a dangerous team. Dallas, it is wide open, though. For a year that people have complained about television ratings, the ratings will go up, and you know, the playoffs will be intriguing because there really is no just that clear-cut, dominant football team. Yesterday, though, favorites went 10-4 straight up, 9-5 against the spread. We get the Colts laying 2 points tonight, 48.5, Steve.
Yeah, Indianapolis 5-6 on the season, but they're actually in the playoff mix because Tennessee and Houston right now are 6-6.
That's what I'm saying with this year. Yeah, look, they win tonight. They're in a first-place tie. There's a three-way tie, 6-6 in that division.
Yeah, right now Houston has the tiebreaker over Tennessee, so Houston would be in the playoffs right now as the fourth seed, but I don't know what the three-way tiebreaker would be. I didn't waste any time trying to figure that out because we got four more games to go still. But yeah, there'd be a three-way tie at 6-6 in the AFC South, just a terrible division this year. So they have plenty to play for. Decent offense, but boy, are they atrocious. Talk about a bad defense. I mean, the Indianapolis Colts have one of the worst defenses in the league. We saw the same thing last Monday night. The Packers, one of the worst defenses in the league against a bad offensive team in Philly. Didn't matter. Green Bay was able to win the game. The Jets actually aren't as bad offensively, though, as their points per game show. If you look at yards per play, they average like 5.7 against teams that allow 5.7. They actually do about the same thing the Colts do offensively, yards per play. They just can't get out of their own way, and they just have bad quarterback play in general.
Yeah, it's interesting with the Jets because, like I said a couple of minutes ago, that's the theme of the year in which there's a lot of teams that have these lofty records or are playoff teams right now, and I'm not so sure how good they are. Yet, I think there are a couple of teams that aren't as bad as their record. The Jets are better than a 3-8 football team. It's been a dysfunctional season for them. Ryan Fitzpatrick has been a bitch this year. Bowles hasn't handled things very well. But we saw last week they competed with the New England Patriots. There is talent on the football team. You know, things have just fallen apart for them. There's some low prop numbers tonight for the Jets. I like the Colts. I think they'll find a way. I just think Fitzpatrick will find a way to screw it up at some point in the fourth quarter. But it's no lock to love the Colts tonight.
Well, obviously, turnovers decide NFL games. You and I know that. And fumbles are 90% random if you go back and do the research. But interceptions are not. So it's not a coincidence that the Jets have a bad turnover margin this year because, you know, obviously their quarterback play is terrible. But still, they have not forced a single turnover in their past three games. They're 5-0 turnovers the last three games. Colts have not forced one their past two games. They're actually 5-1 their last three on turnover. So something's got to give tonight, Gabe, you know, and you think the Jets at home may be less likely to turn it over than the Colts on the road, and you know, especially since they're not really an outdoor team normally. But still, neither team has been forcing any turnovers. A lot of that, though, is random.
I would say that the crowd will be fired up for Monday Night Football, but I tweeted earlier, Steve, I saw the tickets were going for as low as $6 on StubHub for tonight's game. But with that being stated, you got a 3-8 football team. But the Monday Night Football aspect changes everything for the Jets. They're not going to roll over tonight. It's on national television, so you'll get an interested Jets football team tonight. I think there should be some points, says Steve. They should go up and down the field on each other.
Yeah, look at the Jets too. Average 5.6 yards per play. They give up 5.6 yards per play. You know, so you wouldn't think that's a 3-8 team. You think it's maybe, you know, like a 5-6, 6-5 team. The Colts, meanwhile, 5.7 yards per play. They're just a teeny bit better, but they give up 6.4. They're almost a yard per play worse defensively. You know, I know it's not that simple, but I do think the Jets are better than the 3-8 record. But like I said, turnovers have been the problem, and it's not a fluke when you got a terrible quarterback like Fitzpatrick who wears his wedding ring when he plays. I mean, right away, You can't bet on a team that has a quarterback wearing a wedding band out there on the football field, in my opinion.
Yeah, remember? Well, remember Reggie Roby used to wear that. Used to wear the watch.
The roll hit the digital watch. I think he was playing like Q-Bert or something on the sidelines. It probably had the old video games on it though. So
yeah, yeah.
If you're a punter, you get pretty bored.
Yeah, yeah. That was pretty. That was pretty cool. So so what are you going to do with tonight's game, Steve? You got a first half side total. How are you going to play this?
It's a tough call. You know, I could see it being a little bit of an ugly first half. So maybe if you are looking at a first half play, you know, if you get under some key numbers there with the first quarter, see it starting a little slow. It is cold this time of year up in New York. It's another reason tickets aren't too expensive. It's going to probably be in the low 40s, maybe 30s by game time. And I don't know. It's hard for me to imagine the Jet fans are really fired up for this one. I think a lot of them have probably become Giant fans over the past month.
You're better off losing. They're better off losing.
Yeah, at this point. That's a good point. Yeah.
I don't know why they're not playing Petty, to be honest with you, but we'll get to that later in the show. All right, Steve, so the numbers have been set for the bowl games and the college football playoffs. Alabama's 14.5. Clemson is 3-point underdogs against Ohio State. Which way do you think these numbers go?
Well, Alabama, like you said, is over 2 full touchdowns. So it'd be interesting to see. You know, if the Sharps are going to play it, you would think they're going to, you know, maybe grab the 14.5 now or wait to see if they get 15 or 16. But those are dead numbers. I feel like that line's a little inflated. It's not like I want to get in front of Alabama right now, but Washington is a very good team. And not only are they explosive offensively, as we know, but they have a pretty good defense as well. That number looks too high to me. So wouldn't be surprised to see the Sharps grab that key number of 14.5. The other game opened 3 and sat on 3 all of last night. Didn't really move off that key number. Once again, Ohio State deserves to be in, as we see, their favorite on a neutral field. And, you know, I think this game could go either way as well. It'll be interesting to see which side the Sharps like. I think Ohio State probably is the better team, but Clemson getting points, well-coached team, is always attractive.
Yeah, I think it's going to be a really close game, like a one-point game. And I think Clemson match up well with Ohio State. They're very, very similar in what they do. But, you know, Clemson have more speed than a lot of teams in the Big Ten that Ohio State were beating the crap out of. We see Ohio State look better than they are. They beat the crap out of, you know, out of the Marylands of the world and stuff. But if you match up well with them, if you have athletes, it's an equalizer. I think it's I'm leaning Clemson. I think it's going to end up being a rematch, Clemson and Alabama.
Yeah, and I think if you like Clemson, you want to wait. There's actually, it's 3 now, but there's a lot of minus 15s, minus 20s out there. You know, so maybe we see a 3.5. I would think that would not last long, though, because I think anybody that likes Clemson is going to jump on plus 3.5 if it ever shows.
Michigan are 6.5-point favorites against Florida State in the Orange Bowl. Western Michigan makes the Cotton Bowl. Navy's on the outside looking in after losing. It made the committee's job easier after they lost to Temple. Western Michigan gets Wisconsin in the Cotton Bowl. Wisconsin laying 7. How do you think they match up with the Badgers?
Well, Gabe, you and I always root for chaos, so it's a shame that Temple beat Navy. I had nothing in that game, but boy, that would have messed this whole thing up like we talked about on Friday. I mean, there would have been a delay on half these bowl games probably until the Army-Navy game. Navy's now shorthanded for that game, by the way. Michigan up to minus 7 across the board now in a lot of spots, so the money's come in on them over Florida State. As you know, the bowl games are all about which teams show up, motivation. I think Michigan probably plays hard. Harbaugh's such a rah-rah guy. I think he probably gets them fired up still. But they have to be a little bit disappointed, probably, on missing out on the 14 playoff. Penn State, you have to worry about as well, although they didn't deserve to be in. The fact that they're a 7-point dog to USC tells you all you need to know right there. There's no way they're one of the 4 best teams. And Wisconsin got a pretty good matchup against Western Michigan, a winnable game. But then again, is there a hangover after losing that Penn State game? I think Wisconsin had a chance of maybe sneaking into the 14 playoff. I thought they had a better case to make than Penn State had they won. So they probably could have a little bit of a letdown. And the fact that they're facing, you know, a mid-major team now. We've seen that in the past when Boise State went in there, beat Oklahoma years back. I think Western Michigan could be a live dog here. Problem is, I just don't trust that defense. They can move the ball offensively, just don't know if they're good enough defensively to play with a top-notch team.
Yeah, a lot of these, most of these games should go over the number, you know, but you never know when these offenses are off for 4 weeks. You know, one game, too, Auburn and Oklahoma. Stoops wins another Big 12 championship. They're on the outside looking in, but this is a game that they have to win, to me. Like, this is, you know, generally, man, you know, you're going to go broke if you're betting on Big Game Bob to win these big bowl games in the last couple of years. But sitting at 5, 5.5 right now, Steve, I just don't see how Auburn's offense going to keep up with these guys.
Well, the early money definitely was going against Stoops, I guess, because this line was as high as minus 6 at one point. Now it's 4.5 across the board.
Yeah, it's an SEC team getting points against Stoops. So exactly. I guess they're running to the windows here. But it's not a pressure game on Oklahoma. You know what I'm saying? It's different. It's a big game, but it's not the same pressure game.
I just have given up trying to figure out how you handicap Oklahoma. You know, you look at them losing Houston back in week one. That kind of threw the whole season into a loop, and you never know which week they're going to show up. They was it last year? They lost that game as a 16-point favorite against Texas last year on a neutral field. It's just dicey. I think they're the better team on paper than Auburn. I still think Auburn a bit of an overrated squad. And you can also make a case, Gabe, the SEC was really down this year. And that's another reason Washington getting more than two touchdowns could be appealing, because how good is Alabama? I know they've looked great so far, but then again, I think the SEC was a lot weaker this year than it's been in years past.
That game's going over the number. Yeah, that game, I imagine the total will be, you know, they always respect Bama's defense so much. I guess the total will be 58, 55, 56, 58. But Bama are going to score. Bama's going to put up 45 on them. And, you know, how much can Washington keep up? And I think Washington will be able to make some plays on Alabama. But I lean Alabama right there. All right, Steve, so before we get you out of here, we've got a big NBA game. We're going to break this down and some other NBA stuff with Yiannopoulos in a minute. But Cavaliers and Raptors tonight. Raptors are killing teams, Steve, right now. Kind of flying under the radar, I think, to a lot of people in America because they play in Toronto. But, you know, 44-point win the other night. You know, the night before that, a 33-point win. They're killing teams over the last 2 weeks or so during this homestand, Steve. And the Cavaliers are riding a 3-game losing streak, which I think kind of sucks for the Raptors because the Cavs are going to be all focused tonight. But they've already played twice this year. Of course, they played in the playoffs last year, 6-game set. This year they played twice. The Cavaliers won by 3 and they won by 4. Both these games were like tied in the final minute of play. I think the Raptors are sick of losing to these guys. Big game tonight for the Raptors.
Yeah, and they're catching Cleveland off with 3 straight losses in a row. So, you know, the question is, will Cleveland be extra focused because of that, or are they catching them at the right time? Meanwhile, Toronto's won 6 straight. But you look at some of the recent teams they've beaten, not that impressive. They've been a 9-point favorite or more in each of their last 4 games at home during this homestand. The only two teams they've really stepped up in class against this year, they lost by 6 at home to Golden State. They lost by 3 at home, like you mentioned, against Cleveland. This is a step up in class here. We'll see what Toronto has. Wouldn't be shocked to see the Cavs maybe turn it back on tonight.
Yeah, you know what, though? When they lost that game to Golden State, they played in Cleveland the night before, Steve.
That was a bad scheduling spot. It's a good point. And you would have to think this game means more to Toronto. I just don't like the fact Cleveland's off 3 straight losses because you figure that might wake them up a bit. Otherwise, I think this would have been a better spot for Toronto.
All right, Steve Merrill, ProSportsInfo.com. Always a pleasure, Steve.
Thanks, Gabe.
This is Steve Merrill with us. Peter Yiannopoulos joins us next. We got Mike Cardano coming up. We got a bunch of props for you for tonight's Monday Nighter, too. Game Time Decisions. We are live on the Fantasy Sports Network. I just realized there's a Buffalo Bill hat here. Like, why would there be a Bills hat here? Like, it makes no sense. Like, why would there be a Bills hat? We don't want to see any Bills gear. No Bills gear. I don't know why the Blue Jays are here either, to be honest with you. They suck, too. This is the only... This is good. That stays. What else? In Illinois football? Like, seriously, guys. You know, the effort into the decorations getting worse and worse. We point the finger at camera too, Drew, a lot, but this one's on Mikey, actually. Like, Illinois, they won 3 games this year. Like, why is Illinois? It is 1-1. Heads up, Mikey. 1-1. The Colts can stay. Brett Favre's all right. The Met hat, it's okay. It's good. The Met hat can stay. All right. I got to start coming in earlier. I don't know, dude. Like, you still hung over from the Christmas party or something like that? It's a pretty weak job, Mikey. I got to tell you. Like, you know, in fact, you're lucky. Like, I've already done Who Ruined Your Sunday. Because I'm going to say Who Ruined My Monday? Camera one, Mikey. Crappy set decorations. Let's bring in Peter Yiannopoulos. He can pick things up by here. Save the show. What's going on, Pete?
I'm doing good, Gabe. What's happening?
Mondays are tough after NFL football times. Like, I'll just be glad when the season's over, to be honest with you, at this point in time, Pete.
busy time of the year, no question about it.
Yeah, I'll be happy. Like, and then I can start bitching about, like, the who ruined your Sunday will be the ABC NBA game of the week. I'll be ripping NBA players after the fact. Like, yeah, but anyways. You know, one thing, though, last night, actually, Pete, because I'm crazy, I bet the second half of the Memphis-Oklahoma City game, and they're only down by like 8 or 9 at the end of the game. They're down by 9, actually, at the end of the game, and they don't even shoot. It's like, what, you know, if I was a coach, like, that mentality of basketball right now where the team losing doesn't shoot when they have the ball for the last 24 seconds, that's just pathetic to me. Like, you're down by 9, you're just going to stand there, like, why don't you just lay it in, man? Why don't you take a 3, do something? That drives me crazy.
Well, one of my pet peeves was you play to the end, and especially when you're losing, no matter what, you compete to the end of the buzzer and you don't show that you're defeated. If you're up by a significant amount of points and it's under the 24-second shot clock,
that's fine.
Then there's the respect factor, no question. But if you're down, shoot the damn ball, brother.
Yeah, it kills me, man. Like, it kills me. Yeah, they're just a bad basketball team. That's what it is. The Pelicans are just a bad team. That's what I get for betting on a bad team. All right, Oklahoma City, they're not a great team, but they got a great player in Russell Westbrook. 5 straight triple-doubles right now. He's got 10 on the season, but he's the first player since 1989 to have 5 straight triple-doubles, and that guy that did it in 1989 was pretty good, Michael Jordan. For the record, Michael Jordan holds the record, 7 straight triple-doubles.
Well, Russell has been unbelievable, and I've been a big fan of his game ever since he came out of UCLA. And it's funny, I was looking at some of the stats. Russell Westbrook was averaging about 3 points a game his freshman year at UCLA. So just imagine how he's developed and cultivated since he went in to UCLA, and now come out and play for Oklahoma City, and what he's doing right now is historical. I mean, here's a guy, Gabriel Morenci. He's 6'2", and he's grabbing 18 rebounds, 17 rebounds in a game in today's NBA. The athleticism, the determination, man, the desire this guy has, and the loyalty staying and signing with OKC. He doesn't want nothing to do with Kevin Durant. And he's just going triple-double after triple-double every single game. His teammates like him. His teammates love him. I mean, what we're watching here, and you mentioned only Michael Jordan did that before, this guy could really legitimately average a triple-double for the season. It's just insane what he's doing. And you know what, Gabe? He plays defense. He's guarding the other team's best scorer. He's going full court man-to-man. Doesn't take a possession off. He's everything you want a basketball to be. And my son, if I'm going to show him any tapes, yeah, I love Magic Johnson, Michael Jordan, but today's NBA, he's going to be like Russell Westbrook, no question.
The thing with Westbrook is, too, is, you know, and Durant took a pot shot that basically it's nice to play with guys who aren't selfish, which is ridiculous because Westbrook's not selfish. And, you know, maybe in earlier years he didn't make the best decisions, but I don't think it was through selfishness. It was just an immaturity and a growing process of being a point guard. But the thing with Westbrook is very Jordan-like, and I watch a lot of Oklahoma City games, is he tries to get everybody involved, and there'll be so many times, man, where he'll only have like 15 points or something, you know, going into the fourth quarter, but it's almost by necessity. He does this like in the last 8 minutes. He's like, all right, get out of the way. And then he just starts going coast to coast, and he starts to put on a show. It's not like he's going out there from, like, the first minute to the 48th minute, and, oh, get out of my way, I'm a stat guy. He tries to get everybody involved, but he needs to win the game for them in the last couple of minutes, so he takes over in the last 7-8 minutes of a game. But he's not a selfish player.
No, I think that's a ridiculous statement. And when you look at Westbrook, and I love the analogy, right? He comes into the game, and when you look at Michael Jordan back in the day, the first quarter, all he was doing is entry post passes to Bill Cartwright.
Yeah, it used to be frustrating, Pete. Frustrating because I'd bet money on Jordan props over under Jordan 20.5 points. I'd be like, dude, shoot the ball, man. You're Michael Jordan. But you're right, because he knew, I got to get everybody involved into the game, man. I can't just come out here and take 72 shots. You know who did that? Kobe Bryant. And look how disinterested all of his teammates became in the final years with Kobe's crap doing that.
Absolutely. And you look at Westbrook. I mean, if you're going to get 12 to 14 assists per game, you're facilitating, you're distributing, you're not selfish at all. And you're right about Kobe. I mean, as much as I love Kobe and his ruthless demeanor and wanted to kill everybody, I mean, not passing the ball, not passing the rock to teammates got them disengaged. And that was the problem with the Lakers the last couple of seasons. But right now, Westbrook, hey, they got a young team. Guys are trying to come into their own. Billy Donovan's doing a good job. Oladipo, you know, Steven Adams, Cantor's playing a little bit better. I mean, Sabonis is starting. I mean, this is a team that on paper doesn't look like a legitimate playoff team. But right now, they're in the mix, you know, top four, five, six in the Western Conference. And Westbrook has just been phenomenal.
I think they'll get in. I think they'll backdoor it. They'll be that eight team. It'll be entertaining as hell against Golden State. That's just the way that it'll end up working out. All right, we only got a couple of minutes out here, Pete. Trey, speaking of Golden State, Draymond Green, he kicked Marquise Chriss. The other night, like, he got a late technical foul when Houston beat him. And, he, you know, they capitalized on that. He gets away with it. He kicked Marquise Chriss the other night. It's freaking ridiculous now with this guy. It's a nightly occurrence. They need to sit him down for, like, a prolonged period of time. Like, he doesn't get it. So suspend him 4 or 5 games. Or I'd call his ass into New York and have his, you know, I'd tell him, listen, we're watching you. Next time you raise your foot and you kick someone, we're suspending you 3 games type of deal. It's out of control with Draymond right now.
No, it's beyond unfortunate right now. It's downright nasty and it's dirty. And it's jeopardizing the safety of players in the NBA. When you look at a guy recklessly kicking his leg on jump shots, driving to the basket, he hit James Harden in the head on a drive to the basket. As you mentioned, he hit Chris like that. He cost his team the NBA Finals last year. No question about it. If Draymond Green is not suspended, Cleveland does not come back from 3-1. He's just being very selfish right now. He needs some accountability. He's to say, you know what? I'm wrong. I'm dumb. I got to change this. But he's not doing that. And I think Adam Silver, the commissioner of the NBA, has been very proactive in his early tenure. I think that he needs to put his foot down here, speak to the union, speak to the officials, and say, hey, the next time he does that,
kick him out of the game.
Look at a 3-4 game suspension.
Yeah, you got to send a press. All right, we got to get out of here quickly here, people. We got the Cavaliers and the Raptors. We know what happened last year in the playoffs. They played twice this year, both heartbreaking losses to the Raptors. You know, they were in the game to the final seconds. They lost by 3. They lost by 4. I think one of them went to overtime, actually. So it's been, you know, it's a big game for the Raptors tonight. And last year they played this dance where neither of them really cared about the top seed. But if I was the Raptors, I would care this year. And it's still early right now, but it's for first place in the conference. Who do you like?
Well, you know what? You're right. Every game has been close. There's no moral victories in professional sports. I've said this time and time and again. But right now, I think that the Raptors here will take this game tonight, and they must take this game. They have the momentum. Cavs have lost 3 in a row. You know, Dwayne Casey has done a phenomenal job. Like you said this morning, you're either a statue or you're a pigeon. We're a pigeon right now, and a lot of respect to LeBron James. But, hey, what they're doing right now with Kyle and DeMar, you know, Carroll's not playing that well offensively. Valanciunas needs to touch the ball a little bit more. They don't have Sullinger. I'm feeling what the Raptors are doing right now. They got to feed off the crowd. This is for first place. We know how good Cleveland is and the talent level. But, hey, if you win this game, you are one game ahead in the Eastern Conference with the momentum on your side. I think that the Raptors get it done tonight. I think they take it to Cleveland. They're going to be physical with LeBron. He doesn't like that physicality. Don't let Kyrie get off and try and keep a body on Kevin Love and watch those other shooters. But, hey, I think the Raptors are going to be aggressive tonight, and I look for them to take this game.
Yeah, the Cavs have been getting killed in the paint, man. All those three-point shots and all those records that they're setting and stuff, they're paying a price for it. There's no interior defense at all. And before we get you out of here, for my man Luke that made the board for this, UConn and Syracuse tonight renewing their old Big East battle. It just feels strange, and it's not even a conference game. But UConn, man, you and I talked about it. We got to be quick with this, Pete. But every game, they just lose another player. They're down to like 8 bodies right now. It's a bad spot for them tonight. I think Syracuse beat them up.
Well, it's great that they're back at Madison Square Garden, and it's their rivalry is historic. There's no question about it. I think that, as you mentioned, only 8 scholarship players. Adam's going to have to step up. Purvis is going to have to step up as well. When you look at Syracuse, they made a change to the starting lineup last game. Roberson's off the bench. Boeheim wasn't happy with him. They barely beat North Florida, up 24, only won by 3. Leiden is an emerging star for Syracuse. I like what Aaron White has brought, the transfer fifth year from Nebraska. I think that, you know, you get that 2-3 zone. I don't think UConn has enough firepower offensively here to get over that 2-3 zone. I think that Syracuse should be able to take care of business. But you know what? These are the type of games, Gabe, you know that could change the season. And UConn has that tradition. Yeah. They always play them tough. So I wouldn't be surprised if it goes to overtime, to be quite honest.
Yeah, you know what? I'm looking at UConn. I still think they can score. They put up 51 against Boston U. They're going to struggle with that zone. Historically, I'd be all over the points in tonight's game, but I don't trust them. I'm considering pulling the trigger on Syracuse, but I don't want to lay 9 points. Pete, it's always a pleasure, my man. We got to get out of here, but you're the best. Thanks for the time.
All right, man, always.
There's Pete Yiannopoulos with his former assistant coach with the UMass Minutemen, now RDS Television. All right, we'll take a quick break. Fantasy Sports Television's very own Mike Cardano, and Out of Bounds co-host, joins us coming up next. All right, let's talk some props. Let's talk some Monday Night Football. Let's bring in Mike Cardano, Fantasy Sports Network's very own. Mike, always a pleasure. How you doing?
You know, we got a big tailgate tonight over at the stadium.
Did you say big tailgate or tailgate? Yeah, I guess there might be more people in the parking lot than in the stadium tonight, actually. Yeah. People are just going to get drunk. They're not going to go in.
The tickets for tailgate cost considerably more than the tickets for the game.
A Metro pass card will cost you more than tickets to the game. Like, honestly. Like, seriously, it'll cost you more to take the transit there back and forth, Mike. It's that bad tonight. But you know what? Since it's a Monday Night Football game, I don't think the Jets are going to quit. But let me ask you something. You're a Jets fan. I'm a Bills fan. At this point, man, I just hope they lose out from here on out. But they're not going to. You know, they'll end up winning the next three, and, oh, they missed by one game. And they'll just screw themselves over and over and over again. But if you're the Jets, why are you playing Fitzpatrick tonight? Why don't you know? He's not even going to be back next year. Find out, is Bryce Petty the guy? Like, what do you think about this?
Well, they're going to play them until they're at least mathematically eliminated, right? Which is really tonight would be mathematical elimination if they lost. After tonight, we'll see. I don't know. They're given the line. They have to, you know, responsibility for the other guys on the team. I don't know. Apparently, they don't think Petty's the guy. They know Hackenberg's not the guy. So I really don't – they're lost. They need Romo. Or they need somebody.
Look at Hackenberg, Mike. Penn State, he leaves, and Penn State wins the Big Ten.
There you go.
Like, it's insane. Like, it's pretty much like – because people are like, Franklin's a crappy coach. You know, he's got attitude. He ruined Hackenberg. Now they're like, it was Hackenberg all along. It wasn't Franklin. Because they took this Sorensen kid. You know, here they are right now. You know, unbelievable. You're right, though. They're a mess. So, you know, that's why the Patriots own this crappy division, man. You got the Bills, the Jets, and the Dolphins, dude. We're pathetic, Mike.
I thought the Dolphins had something going here for a little bit until I saw yesterday.
Yeah, so what do you make of tonight's game? The Jets have actually beaten the Colts 3 straight times. I don't know what that means. The Jets are just 1-4 at home this year. Andrew Luck's going to be back, and they're playing for first place because they're in a crappy division. 6-6 is first place for them.
Yeah, listen, nobody's going to be able to stop anybody unless they start turning the ball over. But none of the defenses get turnovers, and the offenses turn the ball over. So I don't know what's going to happen here. I expect a very high-scoring game between the combination of defenses not being able to stop the offense and the offenses turning the ball over. I expect everything to go in the over. The turnovers props to go the over, the scoring props to go in the over, the passing, everything. I think it's going to be a very high-scoring game.
Well, you know what? I hate betting on Ryan Fitzpatrick props, but I saw a number, 229.5 yards, man. Like, come on. Like, against this Colts defense, it gives up like 280 a game. You can't throw 230 freaking yards. Brandon Marshall's dominated Indy in his career. 37 catches, 420 yards, 4 touchdowns last 3 times he's faced off against this football team. Forday's been getting a lot of touches. I actually think Hilton goes over 5.5. I like Marshall over 4.5. Yeah, let's beat Johnny Public tonight, Mike, and take the overs.
I can't find an over prop that I don't like. I think the gem here is going to – I think you see a lot of Belial Powell tonight. You know, I think tonight is his night. I think the ball's going to be airing a lot. The Colts cannot stop the forward pass. You know, this is going to be completely different than the Chicago 49ers game yesterday where they couldn't pass the ball, you know?
Yeah, look, Colin Kaepernick averaged 0.8 yards per attempt.
It's crazy. So I think the ball's going to be – I think you're going to see 40-something attempts from both of these guys.
Yeah, you know, I saw a prop for Powell tonight, 49.5 combined rushing and receiving yards. That should go over that, actually.
I like it.
Yeah, what do you think of the Marshall prop, 68.5 yards? Vontae Davis is banged up. He's playing, but he's not 100%.
You know, the only thing that bugs me about that is something's been going on with Marshall. If you look at the stats, the first half of the games, he's got 3-4 catches. And the game ends, it's very similar to what it was at halftime. I don't know what's going on in the second half of these games. He's not that active in the second half of these games. I don't know if he's not healthy or the Jets just can't get him the ball. Listen, the Jets have some players that can catch the ball. They don't do a good job of getting open and separating the ball. I know Fitzpatrick has a lot of interceptions. He's trying to make a play and force the ball. The receivers, in large part, they're not open, and he's throwing it to covered receivers, and that's where the interceptions are coming from. Not the really poor throws. He's trying to fit it into a spot. He's not able to do it. Marshall can't really get it separated. He uses his body at this point to shield, but he's not going to run past anybody.
All right, we got to get out of here. Who wins the game?
Colts,
I agree. Mike Cardano, always a pleasure. Thanks.
All right, take care.
This is Mike Cardano with us. Take a quick break. We'll come back with our plays of the day. All right, let's get to our plays of the day. We're going to concentrate on this terrible Monday Night Football matchup this evening. But you know what? If the Indianapolis Colts win the football game, they're actually in a three-way tie for first place in that putrid division that they call the AFC South. And, you know, I think they do get it done this evening. It's going to be a close game, but both teams are going to go up and down the field. But in typical Ryan Fitzpatrick fashion, he'll find a way to screw it up late. We'll lay the deuce with the Colts. I think there's going to be some points put up on the board. Listen, this game's either going to be a track meet or it's going to end up being like 6-3 or something like that. I think it'll be a track meet. It goes over the number. Let's go with a 7-point teaser with the Colts to the over. All right. Betting on Fitzpatrick never freaking ends well, but his numbers are always so low because he's so bad. But the completions is 20.5. We're going to go over the number. We're going to go over 229.5 passing yards. Brandon Marshall, he's got 37 catches last three games against the Colts, and my favorite number, 420 yards. It's a message. Marshall, we're going to go over 4.5. Andrew Luck, over 23.5 completions. T.Y. Hilton's kind of been quiet over the last couple of weeks, but I think he catches a lot of balls tonight. We're going to go over the number. NBA basketball. Raptors finally beat the Cavaliers this evening. Pacers, big win last night in L.A. They lose tonight. They get blasted, and the game goes over the number. Other night, you're on your own. Made a winner's be yours.